In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And when he saw her, he called over and said to the woman, "Woman, you are freed of your disability." And he laid hands on her, and at once she straightened up and she glorified God. As you all well know, I'd love to set the scene for our gospel lesson before getting into the meat of the teaching. Jesus has been making his way to Jerusalem and has paused in his journey on the Sabbath day to attend synagogue, as was his custom. In fact, this was the last time that we read of Jesus attending synagogue in the scripture readings. His next appearance is in the temple in Jerusalem. Now, Jesus likes to take a seat among the common folks. He doesn't presume to take the lead unless asked by the presider. And as he watches the people entering the synagogue for worship, he can't help but notice a woman struggle in, all stooped over and barely able to move. Her back is so horribly bent that as she walks, she looks constantly at the ground. She cannot see people and must recognize them by their voices. This woman, Luke tells us, has been drained of her spirit and strength for 18 long years. Jesus takes pity on this woman, calls her to him, and lays his hands upon her, freeing her immediately from her affliction. She is freed emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And as she's freed from her affliction, she stands erect and loudly praises God for her healing. Our blessed Lord sets an example for us to follow. He's not afraid of this woman's disease. And by calling her to him, he opens the window of opportunity for connection and the possibility of respite from years of isolation. She experiences empowerment by choosing whether or not to take this first step. And whatever her decision, she has been recognized, first of all, as a human being. And the experience has added to her store of energy. When Jesus says to the woman, "You are free from your infirmity," he introduces a new thought to her, one that grows into reality. She does not have to believe that it will happen. She just has to continue to affirm that it is possible. And with each positive affirmation that "I am being well," the woman stands straighter and straighter. To touch is to connect with another human being in the most profound way. Experiments on newborns show that those who are not caressed or held often fail to thrive. This need does not disappear when we grow up. Jesus thus lays hands on this woman. And in this way, he non-verbally repeats his encouragement for her to share her burden with him, to fill her depleted reservoirs with his strength. And we are told that she immediately stood up and began to thank God. It's important to note that this woman's cure did not come out of the blue. Jesus found her in synagogue. She was cultivating her faith and her willingness to be cured before she ever met Jesus. And perhaps she was already affirming, "I am being cured." And the loving touch of our blessed Lord was the remaining task, the remaining link. The Christian vocation is to live on the edge, to be transformed, and not to have all the answers. To put the gospel's message of love into action brings us to rejoice with those who rejoice, to weep with those who weep, and to show compassion to those in distress. and finally to give spirituality to the deprived. Nikos Kanzikas tells the story of a monk who had desired all his life to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, to walk three times around it, to kneel, and then to return home a new person. Gradually through the years, he had saved enough money that he could do this pilgrimage, for he had begged from village to village, and finally, near the end of his life, he had set aside enough to travel to the Holy Land. Well, he opened the gates of the monastery, took his staff in hand, and with great anticipation, set on his way to Jerusalem. No sooner had he left the cloister than he encountered a man in rags, sad and bent to the ground, picking herbs. "Where are you going, Father?" the man said. "To the Holy Sepulchre, brother. By God's grace, I shall walk three times around it, kneel, and return home a new man." How much money do you have, Father?"
30 pounds,
the monk said. "Give me the 30 pounds, said the beggar. "I have a wife and hungry children. Give me the money. Walk around me three times, kneel, and you will be a new man." Well, the monk thought for a moment, scratching the ground with his staff, and then took the 30 pounds from his sack and gave it all to the poor man. He did walk around him three times, and he knelt and went back through the gate of the monastery. He returned home a new man, having recognized that the beggar himself was Christ, not far away in Jerusalem, but right outside his monastery door. In abandoning the quest for the remote and the romantic, he discovered strangely a meaning far more profound in the ordinary environs of his own home. He had been surprised by grace, the grace freely given of salvation in a place not expected, but as a gift still prized. By ourselves, we cannot accomplish what we need to do, but we can continue to strive and with God's loving and caring reach the goal of healing, peace, and salvation. I have personally observed through my hospice ministry and the healing ministry here at St. Peter's how God has performed healings of mind, body, and spirit as people receive the laying on of hands and the anointing with oil. How many times have I seen patients peacefully end their struggle and pass to new life as they receive the laying on of hands? How many times have I seen folks freed from their anxieties and accept the healing of our God through the anointing prayers right here in this chapel? Some of you sitting here can attest to how God worked through this ministry. But, as St. Paul said, it is not I, but God working through me. And to this I say, give God the glory.